We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
I want to talk to us just for a little bit tonight. They've been talking about this series I preached, and by the way, thank you guys. You're awesome. These guys always stay, and I always have to keep reminding them they can go. Yeah, if you're going to clap, don't do a golf clap. And I've been teaching in our church. I just finished it, a series. They call it The Real Story of King David, but that's not the title I gave it. The title I gave it is Unmasking David. And so it'd be nice if we could get it what I called it, because that is what it is. It's Unmasking David. And it's actually really trying to talk. And actually, it was actually Pastor Rick Goldman that kind of, you know, reminded me of some of those things about the life of David. And when I was in Bible college, I had to do like a major character study on somebody. And David was the guy I chose. And I went and I just read everything there is to read about David. And there are some books in the Bible, like if we didn't have, you know, the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, you wouldn't know a lot of things David did. If we just had Kings and Chronicles, Samuel really fills in a lot of gaps. Chronicles really just gives you some highlights about David. Valuable information, but it's 1 and 2 Samuel that I think really unpacks it. And so I have lived in the life and the study of David for the last 4 months. Matter of fact, our building team that I meet with every Thursday morning for the last 21 years, on a Thursday morning for 1 hour, we're going through a book together by a guy called Dr. Mark Rutland, who actually wrote a book on David. And actually, we've been studying that because these are businessmen that I meet with. And before we ever buy a building, sign a lease, any building you've ever seen that we bought, you know, they've been strategically involved. And one of those gentlemen here tonight, Dr. Joe Monaco, who is one of those guys you can count as a lifelong friend in my life. And he serves on that building team, also serves as an elder in Wave Church. He also looks after all of our retirement for all of our staff, those who want it at least. Some people don't, I guess they all get it, do they, Josh? Yeah, if they, yeah. And he looks after all that. And we've been going through this book by Mark Rutland because it has such great leadership principles in it. And it's really lit me up. I got to be honest with you. It really has lit me up and refreshed of my earlier studies. And one of the things we talked about was, you know, when David was really old, you know, and he was so old that he couldn't get warm with his circulation. And the Bible goes to such great lengths to describe how old he is. And it says that he couldn't get warm. He just, you know, no matter how many blankets he put on him. So finally, out of concern for his health that he didn't die, they actually threw a naked young virgin on David to warm him up. And when I was sharing that with some people, they said, "I'm old, I'm cold." So then I had to point out, but the Bible does also say he did not have sex with her. And anyway, I thought that was funny. So I want to talk to you tonight just a little bit, and then I want to pray for some people. Is that okay? About a little bit about this, because this is a great message for pastors. By the way, Richard, where are you? I saw you, Richard. Stand up, Richard. This guy here, the name of your company is Little Mountain, and I was, because it goes, think little. And when I first saw that sign, I went, what the heck is that? Who wants to think little? Then I realized that's the name of his company, Think About My Company. And he actually does a whole lot of work with churches. You still do this, I'm assuming, with children's facilities and not just children's, but buildings and remodel, just incredible. And I just want you to know, if you're looking to do something to be involved in those areas, think little. He's right there. And I'd love you to, he didn't ask me to do that. He's not sponsoring the summit. He's just a great friend, and I would highly recommend it. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Samuel anoints David to be king. We all know the story, right? 1 Samuel chapter 16, and it says, and Samuel anointed David to be king, okay? But then David had to wait, and David became he was a poet, he was a musician, he was a singer, he was a songwriter, he was a shepherd, he was a warrior, but he was a fugitive. He was an outlaw. He was a mercenary. He was a gun for hire. He literally had to pretend he was insane one time to get out of prison. I mean, anybody ever feel like, what's pretending? I think I am going insane. Anybody? I felt that way in this. We have, you know, all these different campuses all over the place, and every state has different regulations. And I got to tell you, there's times when it's just downright exhausting trying to figure out how we're going to navigate all these different campuses and the different unique challenges that come with each and every one of them. And talk about David. He made just a dumb decision to leave a prophet's place of safety and decides he's going to go to Gath and ends up getting himself thrown in jail. And the only way he was going to get out was to pretend he was insane, because they had a superstition that you can catch insanity. And David had to do a very convincing job. So he was an actor. Of all these things that David was, he was a gun for hire. I mean, I'm telling you, the guy, he was a giant slayer, wasn't he? But God made him wait. I mean, years and years before, from the time that Samuel came to the time that that came to pass. Now, we teach people in our church there's value in waiting. And yet we as leaders and visionaries aren't very good at it. So I actually wrote down five reasons why God teaches us to wait. You want to hear what they are? Number one, waiting reveals our real motives. Isn't that true? And how many know that when you're dealing with people, raising up people in church leadership, people with wrong motives won't wait long. And sometimes it's just a really good thing to just wait, you know what I mean, and not dangle carrots in front of people and just see if they'll be here still in 6 months. Because people with wrong motives won't wait long. Number two, waiting builds patience in our lives. Don't you hate that? Okay? And patience in little builds patience in much. And we've got to get a sense of timing. Waiting builds patience. When I realized, when I was 8 years of age, I left New York. I was born in Queens, New York City, and my family decided to migrate to Sydney, Australia. And I remember standing at JFK Airport. I remember the ramp. And I remember standing there going, this is wrong. We should not be leaving America. And my parents told me that they were broken. They were alcoholics. They're going to start life all over again with five children by moving to Australia. Well, they were Irish. Irish people can be gypsies. They tend to move around. And so for them, it wasn't like a big deal, but I think of it now and I think, dear God, that was amazing to do that. Now, my parents on the plane, both of them got blind drunk. They promised leaving America, they'd never drink again. And we arrived in Sydney, Australia with my mother and father completely drunk, and we knew no one, and we didn't know where we're going to go, how we're going to get there. And as a little 8-year-old, that can be a little stressful. And then everybody's driving on the wrong side of the road and the steering wheel's on the wrong side of the car. And I'm going, what is this place? And I remember thinking, I'm going back to America one day. As clear as I can, still see the ramp in JFK Airport, that 8-year-old boy. And then when I was 12, I was asked by my parents, did I want to become an Australian citizen? And I said, would that mean I'd lose my American citizenship? And then at the time, it meant that. So I said, oh no. I'm going back to America. And then when I was 17, I became a Christian. And I realized that that little boy wanting to go back to America. And in some senses, I kind of went, oh, maybe God's got some redemptive work for why, you know, me going back there. And I thought, I know there's a church in me. And I know the time will come when I will pastor a church in the United States. I knew it would be on the East Coast, and I knew it would be by water. And I knew we'd have campuses all over. That was then. Then I tell you something. I could have then, when I was in a church that I got saved in for 10 years and I was transitioning out of that church, I wanted to go to America right then and there and start this church. But I had a sense I had some more things I needed to learn. I had an equal sense there were some things I had to unlearn. Because the church I got saved in was a great church, but you know, I needed to unlearn some stuff. You with me here? And so I remember Mike Murphy sat down with me and he said, Steve, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I'm going to wait 2 years and then I'll go. He goes, well, what are you going to do for 2 years? I got my old job back. I rang my old boss working for electronics installation company. And I said, hey, I'm looking for a job. He goes, you're hired. You're one of the best employees we ever had. Start tomorrow, and I was going to get paid good money. But Mike Murphy says, what church are you going to go to? I said, I don't know. Probably just go down to Hillsong Church, I guess. It's far enough away to stay away from the church I was in. And he goes, well, Brian wants me to talk to you about running our college. And I said, I'll come for 2 years. Then after that, I'm going to go start a church in the United States. So that was the deal we worked out. 8 years later, I'm Brian's senior associate pastor. And I learned something through all of that. Listen to this. Burden doesn't necessitate timing. And just because you get a sense of what's out there doesn't mean it's got to happen tomorrow. And I think actually it's one of the things that God does do that has really built strength in our life is waiting builds patience. Amen. And number three, waiting builds anticipation. Doesn't it? One of my favorite things, I mean, I remember as our kids were growing up, whenever it was getting close to their birthday, they'd get so excited about their birthday present. Christmas was particularly fun. We used all the guilt trips you could. If you don't behave, Santa's not coming. I know some pastors don't believe that you should talk about Santa. We talked about Santa all the time. We don't beat up on the bunny and we don't crucify Santa. But I remember the kids would go, how many more sleeps? How many more sleeps? And the anticipation. And I'm thinking about what God does. Praise the Lord. There's a pastor from Australia ringing me right now on my phone, and it just came through to my iPad. How funny is that? And it builds anticipation. Proverbs 20, verse 21, an inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed at the end. That's why God said to the children of Israel, I'll give you the promised land, but I'll only give it to you in pieces. And when you learn to occupy this, then I'll give you more. Some of us, let me tell you, you got a dream for a big church, and maybe right now, isn't COVID just an equalizer? No one's exaggerating their numbers now. Isn't that true? I don't know about the rest of you, but my first Sunday back, I was depressed. I went, I don't even want to be here myself. I mean, it wasn't fun. I was encouraged by our online numbers. I think one weekend we had, how many, was it Josh, 80,000 people or something to that, different views, IP addresses, whatever it was. And I went, man, we got revival online, but that was just 1 week. Then reality soon comes back, doesn't it? But actually, I was thinking about it. God said, I'll give it to you little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. As you grow and as you are able to maintain what I've given you, I'll give you more. And so to me, this is the power of waiting. Would you agree? We tend to value, isn't it true, the things that came harder or longer. Isn't that true? We tend to value them. And number four, waiting develops character. I mean, you ever studied Moses? Moses, when he was young, was a brash, impatient, small-thinking leader. You ever studied him? He was brash. By the way, he killed someone with a bad temper, if you don't know. Okay? He was brash. He was impatient. And he was a small, Moses going, I got this. I'm going to be the leader of the people of Israel in slavery. I'll be the spokesperson for them. And then he got a clue as to something that God had on his life. And when he attempted to be the guy, they all said, who died and left you in charge? You would be here. And Moses was thinking, I'll just be that guy. And of course, we know he grew up in Pharaoh's house. He had some sense of enlarged thinking and higher education. But he was brash. He was impatient. He had a foul temper. You with me here? And then God, 40 years later, says, no, no, Moses, you were thinking so small. I didn't want you just to be somebody as a leader of the Israelites and the Hebrews in Egypt. I want you to lead the whole nation out of Egypt. You with me here? So to me, waiting develops character. And think about Joseph, same thing. Joseph went around telling everybody his dream. He hasn't figured out God's going to make him a leader, but he's not leadership material yet. And God puts him in a pit. He puts him in slavery. He puts him in a prison. He gets forgotten about in prison. And then finally, God opens the door, and all of that built character. Some of you are trying to fast, you know, get on the fast track, and God's not in a hurry for some of those things. And finally, waiting builds dependency and intimacy with God. I don't have time to unpack all of David's from the moment he was anointed to be king, so anointed by Samuel to be king, to the time he became king. But let me tell you, that man went through hell and back. Would you agree? And to me, it builds dependency and intimacy with God. Waiting in difficult times develops your relationship with God. People who did great things for God learn their success, listen to this, is in direct proportion to their intimacy and their dependency on God. I want to say it again. People who did great things for God learned that their success is in direct proportion to their intimacy and their dependency on God. Would you agree? So there's a couple of thoughts about waiting, and that's just that first little period. But let's talk about David. Let's talk about him just for a few minutes here. A couple of thoughts I've got if you're taking notes. Number one, David, let me just put it this way. Keep doing what you're skilled at and let God do the promoting. Just keep doing what you're skilled at and let God do the promoting. Do you know when David played that he was good at being a musician? He was so good at it that his reputation made it to the king's palace. And they said, get that young man and have him play to soothe Saul, who's tormented by a demon spirit. And he walked in there, and I don't know, I imagine, I don't even know that David would have ever seen or met Saul face to face. But he played in a vicinity where Saul heard it, we know that, and it soothed the demon spirit that Saul was afflicted with. Do you think about that? If this man is being tormented by a demon spirit and you're in a place where you're within earshot at least, if not close proximity, close enough for Saul to hear the music, possibly in the same room, David could have killed him because he already knew. Samuel said he's going to be king. And this man is vulnerable, but Saul, David never touched him. And yet David knew he's going to be king. And here's a moment of weakness and vulnerability. He could have just tried to jump on that and make it happen. Another time it happened where David actually was hiding in a cave and Saul came in. And they thought they were caught. And no, Saul was just taking a leak. And David comes up, cuts off a corner of his robe and then says, Saul, Saul, I could have killed you. And I didn't. And of course, Saul said, David, my son, is that you? I'm so sorry. And he deeply, it seems, to repent. And then another time, David creeps into Saul's tent and takes his water bottle and his spear and shows him the next day, Saul, I could have killed you. You with me here? It's pretty amazing. And Saul once again repents, but he says, David, I'm so sorry. What's wrong with me? I just think it's fascinating. So here's the thought. Just keep doing what you're skilled at and let God promote you. And that's what David did. And the Bible says promotion doesn't come from either the east or the west or the south, but God is the judge. Can I say something about this election? There are people who are so freaked out by it. And every election, we hear people say, this is the most important election in the history of the United States. Now, I want to say this. Everybody could and should vote, in my opinion. But I'm not sweating the outcome of no matter who the president is. God is still in charge of the United States. And I don't know, I mean, it's like, to me, we have so, and this is a challenging season leading a church right now, because it's an election year. We've got all sorts of social injustice and unrest going on. We've got COVID going on. People are literally going crazy. And they've got more time than ever to get on social media. And I have told our church almost every Sunday, church, listen to me. You need to get off social media. You need to stop it, because you're arguing with your brothers and sisters and you're not advancing the cause of the kingdom. And then I keep saying it because they're not listening. You with me? Anyway, there you go. Keep doing what you're skilled at and let God do the promoting. Let me just say this to you. And I actually, this is not the series I have. This is not, this is me taking some of the thoughts that I felt like I could take and give to you tonight. Is that okay? Where you are right now is where God wants you. And I actually felt the Holy Spirit really prompt me to tell some of you that. That where you are, and I'm thinking about David, and wherever he was in that moment, God was with him. And don't despise where you are right now. And there's some people here tonight that need to hear it. It is a word of wisdom for your soul. That where you are right now is where God wants you. Right now, where you are, stop thinking if you were somewhere else, it would be better. Stop thinking that your success is dependent upon what other people will do for you. Because if you think your success is dependent on what other people do for you, you'll never take responsibility for who you are, where you are, what you're doing today. And you'll always live like a victim of, until somebody does something for me. And I just feel like somebody here, more than one person, needs to hear where you are right now is where God wants you. And you got itchy feet. And here's the word of the Lord. Scratch your itchy feet. Scratch them. Stop it. Okay, I'll keep going. All right? You're very quiet. I don't like it. It's kind of rude. Isn't it? Don't you think? Like, Jeffrey, if you invited me to your house and I came over and we're having dinner and you asked me questions and I just sat there and didn't answer you, that'd be rude. So I'm going to try it again. Where you are right now is where God wants you. There you go. See, that's better. Now you're not rude. Okay. Okay. Beware. Now, having said that, let me say the next thought. Beware of settling for less than what God has for you. Because David, at a point in his leadership, he's not yet king, is offered Ziklag. And he's not the king of Israel. He's actually fighting with these enemies. And he's pretending to kill Hebrews, but he's not really because he's smart. But he has to kill men, women, and children. So nobody ever is able to say what happened. The guy was good. Let me tell you, I didn't have to describe him, but he's just a bad guy. I mean, a good bad, you know what I mean? And he gets given Ziklag, and David could have in that moment, well, I know God said through the prophet Samuel, I'd be king of Israel, but maybe I'll just be the leader of Ziklag. And we can actually settle for less than what God has for us. Now hear it, where you are right now is where what God wants you, but don't ever settle for less than what God put in your heart. Don't ever go, well, Ziklag is close enough, that'll do. Are you hearing me? Whatever it is that God put in your heart for your church, for your life, for your dream, for your ministry, for what God's going to do. And I would say, certainly don't let COVID steal your dream. And certainly, if somebody is leaving your church, and people will leave your church. George Barna statistics here, 33% of people are leaving churches in COVID. Of any church, the average departure is 33%. We are living in crazy times, and people do crazy things in crazy times. Are you hearing me? And I just want you to, it doesn't matter. Like right now, if I look out at Wave Church and I look at who's not there, man, I tell you, I could lose my mind. And I'm not settling for less. And I'm not believing God just to get back to where we were pre-COVID. I know that God's going to fill this place over and over again. I know there's 20 campuses. And if anything, it's brought out more of a fight in me. I think I'm preaching better now than I ever have. Are you hearing me? But beware of settling for less. Well, I guess this is all that God had for me. Don't do that. Amen? Okay. Number four. Listen, you know when David brought the ark back? That's a great story, by the way. He brings the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, leaves it at Obadiah's house for a while because he kind of does that whole deal wrong. Remember that? But remember what led to that when he brought the ark on an oxen cart, which is a Philistine-made invention? You're bringing the Ark of the Covenant on something that was made by Philistines. That we all know now, it was supposed to be carried on the priest's shoulders. But that was David's first mistake. A people who were the enemy of God, who want to destroy and annihilate Israel. And we're going to carry the presence of God on something that was given by the world. And then poor old Uzzah, he's a good dude. He's watching the ark and the oxen stumble, and it looks like the ark's going to fall off. So in his genuine attempt to prop up the ark, to prop God up, he touched it, and God smote him. And I want to tell you, here's a lesson for preachers. God does not need you, and he does not need me propping him up. And we have a culture of Christianity today with some celebrity preachers that will water down what the Bible says so as to be popular in the world and do not be propping God. Well, the Bible, it kind of means, it doesn't really mean it. Well, let me just bring that, you know what I mean? And I'm going, no. We do not, God does not need you. He does not need me propping him up. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Sin is sin. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Amen. And when we try to change that to be more acceptable to the world, I think we're trying to prop God up and we might just mess you up. Would you agree? Number five, just some thoughts for preachers here tonight and pastors. Success can pollute. I never saw this before, Pastor Rick. It shocked me. And I preach a message and I know you preach it and I stole it off you, if the truth be told. If you build God a house, he'll build you a house. And it's all out of the story of David and how God protected David's seed for hundreds and thousands of years after David. And I tell you, it's one of the most powerful truths. But I saw something else in that story that I never saw before, and it was from studying this. Watch what happens. Watch this. David, he's now king. Are you with me here? He's no longer on the run. He's now king. He brings the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. He gets a new city that's the city of David, which is Jerusalem. And he looks at his house and he brings the Ark of the Covenant back and he looks at his house and he says, I'm looking at my house, which is so wonderful and palatial. He says, you know what? I just want to build God a house. It's not right God's in a tent when I'm living in this. So he speaks to Sam, you know, the guy who told me he'd be king. He goes, Sam, I need to talk to you. Look at God's house. I want to build God. And Sam makes a mistake. He goes, do it. And then Sam goes home that night and God says, hey, Sam, before you speak for me, you might want to check with me first. Which I'm now doing a 3-week series on Samuel. I'm so inspired by Samuel. I did promise our church after this, I'm going to do a New Testament series because we've been in the Old Testament now for a couple of months. But Samuel actually goes home that night and listen to what it says here. Because here's the thought, success can pollute. And sometimes I think God wants us to redefine success. And look what it says in 2 Samuel 7, verse 8. It says, now then, this is God speaking to Samuel, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Watch this. This is God speaking, I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people, Israel. I have been with you wherever you've gone. I have cut off your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people. Israel will not plant them so that they have no home. They'll have a home of their own and they'll no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning. And it says, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from your enemies, declares the Lord, and will establish, and the Lord himself will establish you a house. When your days are over, you will rest with your ancestors. I will raise up your offspring and to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. Do you know what God's saying to David? Hey, David, when you say you want to build me a house and you look at your house and look what you've done and you start thinking what you've done, you brought the ark of the... David, could you please check yourself before you wreck yourself? Can you stop thinking you're all that in a bag of chips? Can you stop thinking this is what you want? I don't want you building... It's not you, David. It's what I did through you. And too many times I see pastors who think the church owes them. They think God owes them. And they look what I've done. Rather than just check yourself and say, look what the Lord's done in and through me. I see business people and they come in and they think because they write big checks that this is, and they're a big shot. You know what I mean? And they kind of expect maybe, you know, look what I've done. It's by the grace of God that He blessed you, He saved you, He prospered you, and you give the honor and the glory to God and you just keep your ego in check. Now watch this. It's the story. You got it? David's going, I'm going to build God a house. And God goes, appreciate it, not you, your son. Pull your head in. You with me here? Do you know the next thing that happens to David? The next story? After God says, no, listen, man, I did this for you. Stop thinking you're going to build me. Like, you're not doing me any favors. I did this for you. You with me here? The next story. It's a time when kings go to war. And David didn't go to war. And he sat that war out. God was saying, and I think God was kind of warning David, stay humble. I think God was trying to say to David, and of course we know that David didn't go to that war, did he? He sent Joab. Now watch, I got close. Here we go. He was never broken in battle, but what broke him was not going to battle. I'll sit this one out. I'll rest. God just warned him, David, don't think like that. Oh, it's all good. I'll send Joab. You with me here? David was never broken in battle, never. But actually, what broke him was not going to battle. I got a couple of thoughts about it. You ready for it? All right. So it's Samuel 11. Now, is that the one? No, it's the wrong verse. It should be 2 Samuel 11. It was a time. Did we change that? Yeah, we got it right. It's wrong in my notes. It says, in the springtime, at the time that kings go off to war, David sent Joab out to the king's men and the whole Israel army, destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Isn't it interesting to see how that plays out? And I just want to say to everyone here, listen to me, there are dangers to staying behind. When you start getting a little bit comfortable, you can actually take your foot off the accelerator and you don't see the loss of momentum straight away. But there are dangers to staying behind. There's a time when kings go to war. And I want to say to the pastors, this is a time to lead. This is a time for us to be present. This is a time for us to go to war. And I mean go to war on whatever is happening in our nation. Are you hearing me? And speak and bring the word of the Lord. And it's a time to go to war. Don't sit it out, friends. Don't rest on your laurels. Don't get comfortable. Don't get lazy. Don't get familiar. It's time to go to war. It's a time to be praying. It's a time to be in the word. It's too easy to play pretend pastor and actually not be in prayer and not reading the word of God. We got to go to war, friends. We got to go to, there's some phone calls only you should make. There are some emails only you should send. There are some conversations only you should have. You got it. There's a time when kings go to war. And my thought is there are dangers to staying behind. Downtime isn't all it appears. Are you hearing me? Listen to this. Boredom is your enemy. In other words, here's the last thought on that. You got to establish patterns that will keep you moving and productive at all times. And I know too many pastors who got a little beat up in life and in ministry who actually stopped going to the office and stopped turning up at the team. And then the team is missing their leader. And you know what happens when their leader's not present? And you can be present, but you may not be present. You know what I mean? Just read Nehemiah. I love Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he's allowed by, you know, the king to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He gets it all done, but he remembers the king said, hey, you know, you're coming back. And Nehemiah came back, and then he went back to see how they're all doing. And because he wasn't there, what did they all do? They didn't know the language of Judah. Some bad dudes end up putting their offices in the temple. And Nehemiah beats the fool out of them. Read it. I love it. Wouldn't you love to do that sometimes to people? Just if you, I'm just going to slap you stupid. If you ever do that again, I'm going to, you can't, of course, but you want to do it. I love Joab one time. Joab turns up on the command of David. Let's get these generals, three generals, and we'll meet in 3 days. One of them was late. You know what Joab did? Just killed him. You don't turn up late. Wouldn't you love to kill some people who are late all the time? I mean, there's some really fun stories in the Bible, isn't there? I love to remind the team about that. Matter of fact, we had a building team meeting just the other day, and some of them are on Zoom because of all the COVID stuff, and we all joked and said the last person in the room, whether it be in person or in on Zoom, we're going to send Joab over and kill him. And we couldn't wait to see who the last person was, because we were just studying that chapter. Pray, it wasn't you, Dr. Joe, was it? No, Joe is never late. That's true. And so I just thought tonight, and then tomorrow morning, I want to talk some more about it, about David. I want to talk to you. You're going to love tomorrow morning. The things about David in tomorrow morning and tomorrow night, because I'm going to talk about David for a bit. Is that okay? Unbelievable about David was the worst father you could ever read in the Bible, in my opinion. Well, maybe Eli was the worst. But David was not a great father. And David didn't deal with his issues in his, for instance, when his son rapes his daughter. And that's a whole story. He just turned a blind eye to it. Absalom gets so ticked off, who's another son, and can't find it in his heart to forgive. Absalom ends up, because his sister got raped, he's so bitter and so angry, he ultimately ends up kills the brother that did rape his sister. And then, talk about what you become what you can't forgive. Absalom goes in, drives David out of his Jerusalem, and rapes 10 of David's concubines in public. He's in horror over what David tolerated of his sister being raped, and then he turns around as 10 times more guilty of what David, you become what you can't forgive. Isn't that fascinating? So I guess my thought is tomorrow, if we don't deal with our stuff and our generation, we're going to pass that on for another generation. And I want to make sure as leaders that we deal with our stuff so we actually pass on a better legacy. Would you agree? And David on his deathbed, which is where I started with Abishag, the young virgin girl, he's having to deal with things that he never dealt with when he was strong enough and young enough. And he's putting out a hit list to Solomon. Solomon, I don't have the time, the energy, or the strength to deal with this, and now you will. I don't want to be that kind of leader that causes the next generation to deal with things I should have dealt with. That's the thoughts about David for tonight. Anybody receive that? All right. Okay. So it's going to be a great time. Tomorrow, I've asked a very dear friend of mine, would he also speak to us? And that is Jeffrey Smith. And Jeffrey and Nicole are here. And they pastor a church in Fredericksburg. And I say this to their face and I say it behind their back. I think probably one of the finest, most incredible praise and worship atmospheres I've ever set foot in a church is their church. Now that comes back to, I think, their leadership. And I said to Sharon, I said, honey, it's not that I just felt God, but the life and the energy, the only ever place I've ever said that. I mean, obviously I love our team. Please hear me, guys. Don't think I'm, you know, but that was when I went to visit London Hillsong and Gary Clark was actually took a hold of that church. And I went, Gary, this worship here is better than the worship in Sydney Hillsong. Now, I'm not talking about the musicians are better, just what was there. And Brian heard about it and goes, what are you saying? What are you? And I said, Brian, and Brian went there and he goes, you're right. It's amazing. And that's the only other time I've ever thought about that, was about what you're doing there. So I just appreciate you being with us, Jeffrey and Nicole. You're good friends. And so it's going to be awesome. Praise the Lord. Are we good? I wonder if I could pray for you. Did anybody get something out of that? Anybody get some? I you know, pastors all go to different places and hear messages, and we take things and we take them and we'll preach them. And I pray that if something really did give you the courage to preach something along those lines, feel free. Copyright's the right to copy. But I don't want you walking out of here with just a message to preach. I really felt like God just spoke to me. I wonder if I could pray for those people who feel unsettled. You feel unsettled. And it will be easier for you to get out of where you are than stay where you are. And I just really felt like the Holy Spirit said, there's more than one. And you could just walk out of your calling right now. I just want to pray for you. Is that okay? If you'll have the courage, if we can just be in prayer just for a moment, everybody, just close our eyes and just respect this moment of privacy in the room. If you're one of those that I'm talking to, would you just lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Wonderful, 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 wonderful. More than a few. Can we all stand up? Can we all stand up? Have a big stretch now. You've been sitting down for 30 minutes. I know it's COVID. I know we're not supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to be in our bubble. So whoever you came with that's in your, you know what I mean by bubble? Do you know that word bubble? Like, your group, whatever it's called. I don't even know the word. I mean, I've lost all the, Josh has all the right words. Josh keeps telling me all the things I can and can't do and all the things I can and can't say. Praise the Lord. And then this guy here, my gosh, he drives me crazy. Josh Kelly. Oh, I could kill him sometimes. He tells me all the things, Dad, you can't say that anymore. That word's just wrong. It's inappropriate. And I get so scared to talk now. I feel like I need to send him my notes before I preach. No, I'm not sending you my notes. You'll preach it before I do. Whoever's with you, can we just hang on to those people for a minute? Put your arm around them. If you brought somebody and you're kind of all in the same bubble, I'm asking God right now for those people who lifted their hands. Help them, Father, see that you're right with them. That you've never been closer. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would lift that fantasy of being somewhere else would be better. That God, you would help them to settle well that issue tonight. And Lord, we're going to keep doing what we're skilled at. And we'll just trust that you will do the promoting. Lord, we give you reign. We acknowledge your lordship, your sovereignty, your hand, your leading. You're the God that opens doors that no man can shut. And you're the God that shuts doors that no man can open. And Lord, I'm asking tonight that those who lifted their hands would see again the door that you opened as to where they are right now. That they would dream again. Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There are people here, and you just, that whole thing about waiting, that was for you. Who are those people? Just waiting. It's developing character. It's you know, waiting. I'm telling you, there's two pastors here, and it's a word of knowledge now, okay? There are two pastors here, and you're thinking about putting somebody in a key position of leadership, but you're hesitating, and you're wondering, is there something that you're missing? And I want to say to you, wait. I don't know if it's a staff position. I don't know if it's a key position, like maybe a worship director. And everything looks good in the natural, but you're hesitating. Can I just say this to you? People with wrong motives won't stay long. And I think you just got to give them the test of time. Are you hearing me? Just the test of time. And I know who that's for, but if you'll wait, and I'm not saying wait in a suspicious way, wait with anticipation, wait with hope. But the Bible does say, don't lay hands on someone too suddenly. And I just feel like God is almost kind of like trying to help some pastors here from some what could be pain down the road. And you are looking at somebody that says, I wished I waited sometimes. Are you hearing me? There's other times when I didn't wait and then they end up on team and then I wish, now it's hard to get them off. You with me here? And a whole lot of, I wished I waited. You hearing me? And I'm saying it to help you out in Jesus' name. There's at least a couple of people here, married couples, and you are just living under the shame and the guilt of having major conflict in your marriage, but you feel trapped that you can't talk to anybody. Because if people knew what was going on, and you're living under this pressure, this condemnation, you feel trapped. And life is very hard for you right now. Everything looks good. Are you hearing me? Everything looks good. But things at home aren't good. And I want to tell you something. I've said this many times. I could deal with any problem in church, any problem in church. And I really can. And I've dealt with a few. You with me here? I can deal with any problem in church as long as I know Sharon and I are good. But if we're not good, and by the way, we've been married 37 years. And I'd say we've been happily married 35 of those 37 years. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the first year was hell. It was hell, wasn't it, honey? It was, we loved each other. We were never intending on separating. And we always wanted to stay together, but we just didn't know how we were going to do it. Because we were called by the senior pastor, Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. And that's how we referred to me almost every Sunday. Steve, whatever they touch turns the gold. Whatever they do works. Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. When you get called Mr. and Mrs. Perfect by your senior pastor, by the way, senior pastors don't ever do that. You trap that couple. Because we were fighting. We were going at it. We were yelling at each other. Could you imagine Sharon ever yelling? Could you imagine how much of a jerk I must have been to get her to yell? No, think about that. Sharon is the sweetest, kindest, but I finally, I went and you know, but to me, that's how I grew up because there's no resolution in how I grew up without a fight. You with me here? So if I don't have a fighting, I don't really know what's going on. And we loved each other. And finally, I just went and spoke to a couple called Paul Marie de Jong. And I said, can I just tell you, life's hard for us. We love God, we love each other, but we don't know how to get on. And we don't know if it's the pressure of ministry. And then I started telling him about, you know, we get called Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. He goes, oh, there's your problem. You got no one to talk to. You feel trapped. There's a couple of people here. And that's how you're feeling right now. And I want to say to you, put your hand up. Not now, but put your hand up. Because God wants to step into that. And God wants to heal that because he's got so much for you. And you've actually entertained the thought of separation. And I want to tell you, that is not God's plan for you. God wants to heal that. And he wants to give you a safe place in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a fairly personal, confidential moment. But I want to say to you, we had to get help. And then over 37 years of marriage, I got to tell you, there's times when it is tough. The ministry is not for the faint-hearted. It isn't. It's tough sometimes. But I want to say this to you. Look at me, whoever you are, you're going to make it. You're going to come through this. You just got to set your eyes at Flynn. Casey Treat taught me when Sharon and I would argue, and if I walked out of the house in a fit of rage, and I did, that's sowing a seed of divorce. A walkout in an argument is a seed of divorce. Divorce is a walkout. Divorce is no longer with your spouse, and walking out is sowing that seed. From the moment I heard that, I haven't done it. I've said this, honey, I love you, and we're disagreeing right now, and clearly we can't figure this out, But I want you to know we will figure this out. But right now, we're just going to agree that we love each other, and we just got to bring this down and calm this down. And I'm talking to pastors, by the way. I'm trying to keep this real. I'm trying to really be open and honest with you and vulnerable with you to give you permission to be a human being. Amen. To give you permission that it's you're going to be okay in Jesus' name. Jeffrey, I see God. I just see a new season for you. And this is the word I got. It's a funny word. The Bible says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I just, this is the word I see. I see ease. I see lightness, not shallow, but I see ease. I see things getting lighter. I see things getting easier because you've really travailed in prayer. And that's not that you don't keep travailing in prayer. But some of the things you've really had to work hard just to, are they ever, this is what I hear you almost, it's almost like God's allowing me to hear. Are they ever going to get this? Are we ever going to get them there? And sometimes it looks like you've gone backwards from where you want to go. And I just see it breaking. It's in the spirit. Something's going to break. And what I'm thinking about was when I came here, 21, 22 years ago, man, my biggest challenge was to get our church to think about bringing unsaved people to church and getting people saved. There were so many Sundays in those early days when no one would get saved. And then, I don't know, it was just prayer. It was consistency. It was, I didn't do anything different. One Sunday, I can tell you the Sunday, it broke. And the whole thing broke, and it never been the same ever since. And I just feel like in God, something's about to break for you. That you just asked yourself, am I ever gonna get there? You with me here? It's not you're giving up on yourselves or giving up on them, but it looks in the natural, it's almost going the other direction. Now, I don't know what that is, but it's something you've been really pushing, and you're wondering, you know, do I stop? No, it's gonna break. The Bible talks about the anointing came upon Saul. From that day forward, he became another man. This is what I see. The anointing that's on you is on your house and your church. It's going to become like, it's almost like another church. Nothing wrong with the one you got, by the way. But you know what I'm saying? It's going to be that instant. Everyone's going to go, what happened? Praise the Lord. You receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he? God's good. Terry, I want to tell you, man, I just really hear heaven applauding you for your heart, for your integrity, for your consistency, for your faithfulness. And nobody's more aware of all the things that you wished you'd done differently than you and done better. But I just want to tell you, man, as soon as I looked over at you, you know, the Bible says, you know, a faithful man who can find. And I'm looking at one tonight. And I want to say to you that God will cross every T, he will dot every I of everything he promised you. Everything he promised you. And I think about, the Bible says, David served his generation by the will of God. And you are serving your generation by the will of God. And I just want to commend you for being, how long have you been in that same city, pastor, in that same church? 25 years. And I just honor the two of you tonight. And what I see is you're going to enter into rest. And I don't mean you go off to retirement. That's what I'm talking about. But just in your own spirit, man, things that rest in your own soul, rest in your spirit, it's rest. I feel that this is going to sound weird, but I feel it for your health. There's going to be rest. I physically rest that brings healing to you. And I don't know what that is. Rest in your family. Boy, just rest where you're not wrestling. You just, there's a peace. There's rest. God is going to put rest on you in Jesus' name. And it's like, I just preached recently about Hannah and how that, you know, she was just crying out to God for a child because the other wife was mocking her and making it. And even the priest, even the man of God judged her wrongly and thought she was drunk. And she said, God, if you give me a child, I'll give him to you. And we know Eli was a bad dad. He never corrected his sons who were doing immoral things, who themselves were priests. And that woman gave that son that God gave her to that bad priest because she never gave him to him. She made the promise to God. And God ended up giving her 5 more children. And I just feel you've given it to God. And I see rest and I see blessing and I see things coming at you literally 5 times quicker. It's been like there's been drought, but I see it coming. I looked at you when I stood on the stage and I felt the Holy Spirit remind me of Hannah. And she gave it to God. And yet the source of her pain, the source of her pain was going to worship, because that's when the other wife, Penaniah, wouldn't stop her until she was in tears. And in some senses, you've got the source of some of your pain is because you're in the house, you're still in the house, and yet you're still faithful in the house. And it's like, you're not looking to what man, is this making sense? You're not looking to what man did, you gave it to God. It does make sense. I know what I'm trying to say. You do? Amen. You receive it. Rest. 5 times. 5 times. Actually, what you thought would be good, it'll be 5 times. It'll just crack. It'll open in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? Should we worship? Can we worship for a bit? Can we all just take a moment, lift our hands? You know what I'd love to do is go and lay hands on you all, but I can't. Praise the Lord. Are we streaming tonight? We are streaming. Do you guys all have the COVID Nazis? That if ever you put anything on, I'm not allowed to say that either, am I? Huh? Oh, to those who didn't, we're not streaming public. You know those COVID Nazis? Why isn't everybody, and the camera angles don't show you what's really happening in the room? So we say to our team, only show what's happening on stage. Don't film the crowd. What people don't see, they won't have an opinion about. That's wisdom right there for somebody. How many thought that was just right there? That was worth coming. Would you like another piece of wisdom? On a long plane flight, and you got to wear a mask the whole flight, but if you're eating or drinking, you can have your mask off. Buy the biggest bag of healthy popcorn you can and eat one popcorn at a time. It takes me hours to do that. That's wisdom from Steve right there. Can we work? What's your name, buddy? What's your name right there? Just right here, this gentleman right here. Yeah. What's your name? You. Yeah. You. Yeah. What's your name? Doug. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what I said? There's some things you learn that you need to unlearn. I just feel for you, that's your season. And God's got you in an environment and it's like a new season. I don't know whether there's been a recent change of what you do, and but I feel like that's a word for you. You got to be willing to unlearn some things, let go of some things, to embrace new and be good with the new and don't be just hanging on to the old. Does that make sense, Doug? It does. Don't be married to an old way of thinking. And for you, change could be a little unsettling, and yet God's wanting to do something new in your life, and you got to be willing to let go of those things to embrace the new. Does that make sense? Praise God. Now, Doug, I promise you, I don't know you. I don't know anything. I'm only just following what I feel the Holy Spirit saying. Amen. Do you receive that? You do? Praise the Lord. Because I'm telling you, it's bigger and it's greater. In Jesus' name. I see it. I see you standing at a door. And I see the door being so big. And it's an open door. And you've got to be willing to go into it. You've got to be willing to embrace it. It's going to require new skills, new ways of thinking. Let go of the old. Embrace something new in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship. Come on. Sam Estella, where are you? Sam, where is he? Sam, I just felt the Holy Spirit. There you are. Say to me, tell Sam, don't settle for less. And don't let what's happening even right now stop you from building. Sam, you'll have wisdom, I know. But I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, build it. Dream it. Be courageous and be wise. Don't, I mean, we all have wisdom and manage things and, you know what I mean? But, man, build it. I hope that doesn't unsettle you. I hope it doesn't cause you to think again to any contrary thought. But I'm with you, says the Lord. And I've begun a work in you and I will finish it. And the gates of hell and the gates of COVID will not prevail about the dream I put in your heart. And you're going to have favor like never before of city leaders that will actually open doors for you that when they've told you in the past they won't be open, they will be open. In Jesus' name, amen. You are a key apostolic leader to your region. And I'm telling you, the devil has gone after you any way and every way he can because you and Michelle are a threat. The devil is tormented by what you are doing. And I want to say to you, every T will be crossed, every I will be dotted. He will be with you in Jesus' name. Build it. That's what I'm hearing God say. Build it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.